Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their town. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it's already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There's no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Then, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're now 2 Sundays in to the triennial 5-week Eucharistic catechesis that Jesus gives us, which is the most important cycle of Sunday Mass readings in the entire Church's 3-year liturgical cycle. It's more important than the 4-week annual Advent cycle of Sunday readings, more important than the annual 6-week cycle of Lenten Sunday readings, even more important than the 7-week annual cycle of Easter readings. Because the Eucharist is the source and the summit of Christian life. Any life worthy to be labeled Christian must have its source, its starting point, the point from which everything flows, and its goal, the point toward which everything goes, in Jesus, in the Holy Eucharist. So we've been focusing on how the Lord wants to get us to make the choice to live off of Him in the Eucharist, to draw our life from His eternal giving of His life to us, so that we might have that life to the full. I don't want to focus too much on the elements of that we're going to be hearing, but I do want to focus on something very important here. It would have been very easy for everybody among the apostolic band to have complained where they were. But Jesus was teaching them something totally different. And it's the reason why we continue to call what we do every morning here the Eucharist, Thanksgiving. A lot of the times, this aspect of how Jesus in the Eucharist is the source and the summit of our Christian life, this aspect is lost. And today we have a tremendous opportunity to contrast the way we're called to live a Eucharistic life with the way the Jews were in the desert. Children of Israel lamented, "Would that we had meat for food! We remember the fish we used to eat, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leek, and the onions, and the garlic. We see nothing before us but this manna." Okay, so God the Father miraculously rains down from heaven every single day this celestial food, and they're moaning about it. There's a lot for us to learn. They weren't giving thanks at all for what God was doing. They weren't starving there in the desert. They just weren't getting their preferences. Rather than focus on the gift they were receiving every single day, on what they had, they were focusing on what they didn't have. And that is always the way the devil works with us. Just think about the beginning of time. Adam and Eve had everything in the garden, except they couldn't eat the fruit of one tree. And so rather than thanking God for giving them everything, the devil was able sinisterly to get them to covet the fruit of that tree, which was pleasing to the eye. Many of the times it's the same way with us. We can begin to complain about the menu at the Last Supper. We can begin to say it's too warm, it's too cold. We can begin to say Mass is too long, it's too short. It's not using my right Mass parts. It's not using this, that, or the other thing. Without coming with the fundamental disposition of enormous gratitude to God for the gift that He's constantly giving. If we wish to be truly joy-filled in our vocation, it always begins with thanksgiving. It always begins not by looking at the gifts we still want God to give, but by slowing down and pondering the enormous gifts He has always given. We should never take them for granted. And in fact, one of the great lessons of the Gospel is, when we're filled with thanksgiving, we're opened up finally for those other graces. You remember the healing of the leper. The Lord had a far greater miracle in mind than making his skin like that of a little baby. He wanted to save him by faith. He wanted to save all 10 of those lepers by faith. But only one came back to say thanks. And that was the only one who was really healed on the inside. Thanksgiving opens us up to those greater blessings. Just like the gratitude for the manna, the gratitude for the daily bread the Lord gives us, opens us up for this greater gift. We have prayed every day of our lives, sister. Give us today our daily bread. And never once has God the Father refused that prayer. How much we should be thankful for that, even if it's the type of bread that we don't like. White bread instead of wheat. Zucchini bread or banana bread or rye bread. He always hears that prayer. I'd like to focus on this other aspect of complaining, though, which is very important for those in religious life. Think about Moses. Moses had received so many blessings by the Lord. Moses had been the Lord's instrument for the working of so many of the great theophanies to free his people from Egypt. Moses had spent 40 days speaking to the Lord at the top of Mount Sinai. He would speak to him face to face in the tent. But the complaining of those under him wore him down to such a degree that he was begging the Lord to take his life. When I was a pastor, I had the chance to hear confessions almost every day. I had the chance to hold God in my fingertips and give Him to the daily Mass goers every single day. So many other blessings, the anointings at the deathbed, the ability to study the Lord's holy word, the various consolations that the Lord would give me in prayer every day. But for 10 years, I was beaten down by the complaints. It was hard. It gave me a chance to unite myself to the Lord, but it was hard. And I didn't even have to live with those who were complaining about me. For the most part, I did have occasionally priests living in who would make me grow in patience. But in religious life, a lot of the times we can complain about little things. And even though sometimes we can think that the other sisters are doing just fine, or that the superiors are doing fine, or that the mother superior is doing just great, a lot of the times our complaints can really wear them down to the point that despite all the other consolations they have, they can be begging the Lord to take their life. And so we need a different culture. especially in religious life, one of the greatest gifts we can ever give is this spirit of thanksgiving. Someone who's constantly saying thanks to God in such a way that it overflows into real, sincere thanks to others. Occasionally, things are going to come around that need to be fixed, and that there's a way to bring them up in a way that's not grumbling, that's not complaining. But that's what we see here. To live a truly Eucharistic life is to live a life full of praise and thanksgiving. So let's get concrete this Mass in which we're praying for vocations to religious life, which doesn't mean just more vocations, it means the vocations who are here. We ask the Lord all the time to help us to grow in the reality of the vocation that He's given us. And the Lord, out of love, is going to give you plenty of opportunities to grow, not just in the vow, but in the virtue of poverty. When those deprivations come, are those a source of thanksgiving to the Lord? Are those a source of complaint? So the Lord's going to give you plenty of times to choose to live off of His love, and then, united with that love, to love unselfishly those who might not thank you in return, who might not requite that love. When those circumstances come, you thank the Lord for the opportunity to grow in this great spiritual muscle, or do you complain about how your own emotional needs aren't getting met? Likewise with obedience. In order for us to become truly united to Christ in His holy obedience to the Father, usque ad mortem, mortem in cruce, all the way to death, death on a cross, the Lord needs to train us. So He's going to give us so many opportunities to exercise that holy virtue together with Him and in imitation of Him. When those occasions happen, and when obedience is hard, are we really deeply grateful for this opportunity? Or again, is the devil slithering among our heart and will, saying you should be complaining about this rather than grateful? We can talk about the other virtues too. Patience. When the Lord gives us opportunities to try our patience, do we consider those blessings? Humility. When the Lord gives us those circumstances in which somebody else shines and we're the moon to their sun, are we grateful for those opportunities that the Lord gives? Or, again, do we look at them as an opportunity to grumble and to complain? Responsorial psalm today is the way that the Lord will want to help us to respond with our entire life. You remember what it was, because you're grateful for this word of God. Sing with joy to God, our help. That Magnificat, it's supposed to be the Magnificat of a life made up of days, made up of many actions of thanksgivings, in which we sing with joy to the Lord, who always provides exactly what we need, precisely so that we might learn to live off of Him in a Eucharistic life that will continue to eternity. The Lord has given us bread from heaven, His very own Son. And as St. Paul reminds us, if God didn't even spare His own Son, but hands Him over for us all, He will in fact give us everything else besides. Let's thank Him for those gifts now and always. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.